glad that I'm saved. And we haven't sang that song in a really long time. I didn't throw that one on you. I didn't know if you have you ever sang that one? Okay, you know that one. All right. But it's been a while. Anna just learned how to play it, and I love that song. So I wanted to play that. But I appreciate the good singing. I appreciate your help, Pastor Tyler. You're a great blessing to me. And he was teaching me how to text using emojis before. Did you see my thumbs up? That, hey, courtesy, yeah. I'm learning. We're excited about this week and things coming up. And Sean, really enjoyed meeting your buddy. Thanks for bringing him. I hope he can come back. Really nice guy. Great spirit about him. Love to get to know him better. But looking forward to going ice skating this week. I'm looking forward to just all the things coming up. The baby shower, that's going to be a great time. I asked Brother Chris. I said, what do you think she needs? Or when he told me that she wanted a new hunting rifle.
Amen.
I don't know about that. No, but we're looking forward to that, and we'll have that. No, they've got. Yeah, three daughters, you'd need a lot of guns around, yeah. But, amen. But they're registered at I think, Walmart, right? And then we'll have a money tree for them that night. it's good to see everybody out tonight, and looking forward to having communion with you today. And it's nice and cozy in here. I tell you, it's a lot better tonight than it was this morning. What's that? Yeah, you're right. It warmed up, but I tell you, it was about, I don't know, it was in the 50s this morning. But the good thing about it, this morning, nobody fell asleep.
Amen.
Everybody was right with me. I don't know, we won't revert to that tactic, but it's glad that it's warming up. I'm not sure what was going on with that, but maybe we'll have to have that checked out. But let's go back to Luke chapter 2 tonight. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at our second character study, and we're going to look at a man named Simeon, and just preach on this thought. Now mine eye seeth thee. In the book of Job, I love the story of Job. I don't know if you've ever studied the story of Job, and many people in here probably can relate. Say, I can relate to Job. I've been through a lot of Job-like experiences in my life, but Job goes through all these things, and he has all these problems, And Job was a perfect and upright man. He's one that escheweth evil. The Satan came before God and says, God told Satan, said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan just made accusations about Job. He says, the only reason why he does right, the only reason he fears you and follows you is because you blessed him. And Job was a blessed man. He had a great family, great wealth, great health, all these things. And so they take these things away, and that his friends come around and say, why did this happen to you? And they all have all these solutions and all these things. And God is just putting him through a test. And Job goes through all these things, and he kind of debates back and forth with God, and everybody offers their explanation of what's going on. Then finally, at the end of the book, God speaks. And I love it when God speaks. It's just an awesome when God he shows up and he makes an argument. When God speaks, your mouth is stopped. You cannot argue with God. He is right. He is supreme. He is always right. Job says here in verse number 5 of chapter 42, he says, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And my prayer is for you coming into this new year that you'll see God. And I pray that you have seen God work in your life. Most people will go through life and they'll hear about God, and they hear about him with the hearing of the ear, but they never see him. They never see him work in their life. They never see his power. They never see his moving. And I don't want to just hear about him. I want to see him, and I have seen him, okay? And I don't want my kids just to hear about him. I want them to see God move in their life. And then when you see God move, then you'll claim it for yourself. It's yours, and it's something that it'll stick with you. And we need that here at Mountain City Baptist. We don't need just to you know, just to, you know, play church and hear about it, but we need to see God move. And we, you see God move, well we'll see when we get in our text here in Luke chapter 2, you've got all these people in the temple. This is when Jesus is being presented to the temple, and the most religious people in town, they're all together at church in the temple, and everybody's there, and they're hearing about God, but only two people see Jesus. Simeon sees him, and Anna sees him. Now, why is it they saw him and nobody else saw him? And so we're going to look at these things on some characteristics of being able to see God. And you can say, claim the same promise, say, now mine eyes seeth thee. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 25, it says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou preparest before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of the light of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There's several characteristics I see about this man Simeon. And the first thing is that he was waiting. He was waiting. One of the hardest things to learn is patience. It's hard to learn patience and to wait for things. That's when you're teaching kids, one of the first things you got to teach them is patience. They just got to wait. They got to sit still and be patient. And that's a hard lesson to learn. But we must all learn patience. And we learn of a man here that he exemplified great patience. He was waiting on Messiah. He was waiting on the Christ child. He was waiting while others were mocking. Others had given up. And his name, we've been studying about this all through the Christmas story. And as we followed the story, as God led Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and it was according to the prophecy, and they went to Bethlehem, and that's where Jesus was to be born. And this was the angel Gabriel's involved in this story. And according to Jewish culture, after a child is born, they're to bring him to the temple for ceremonial cleansing. And this was 8 days later. And so this is kind of where we are. If you read the preceding verses, he was brought to the temple, and there was going to be an offering, and this was Jewish tradition. And so they left Bethlehem and they went to Jerusalem. They probably would have walked about 3 or 4 miles, and they came upon this town and they see the holy city. Now this would be the first time that Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus, was brought to the temple. And as you go up the steps on the southern side of the temple, they were called the rabbi steps. And the rabbis would often, they would stop on each step and they would teach on these steps as they went up into this temple. And down below this temple, there was the mitzvah bather. This is possibly the place where on the day of Pentecost, maybe the 3,000 were baptized. And these steps, they led to the Hola gates. And it was through these gates that the common Jewish person could enter into the temple for worship. Now, this was known as the common person gates. And it was through these gates that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ entered into the temple with his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, for this ceremonial cleansing. And so they walked up this step and they meet a man named Simeon. And this man, his faith was grounded in scriptures. He claimed the promises of the scriptures. And you can imagine all the events that led up to this time and what was going on during that day. They were under oppression of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was a very difficult rule to live under for the Jewish people. The taxes were very heavy. There was lots of bad news every single day. Does that sound familiar? I tell you, I was watching some newscast today. There's some box truck, another truck in Nashville. They're concerned about maybe going to blow up or something. I don't know. Did anything ever happen with that? You might see There was something that blew up in Nashville. I couldn't believe that. You know, I know exactly where that's at, and that I used to live in Nashville, and that was a horrible thing. But you know, all these bad things going on. But how Simeon, he had the ability to block these things out and not be distracted and focus on this one truth and this promise that Messiah would come. He lived for that. He lived for that. And that's what I want you to do. Jesus is coming again. You live for that. Block it all out. But live for the truth that Jesus is coming again. And the best is yet to come. And this things that we're having to deal with, this is not permanent. This is temporary. We're just pilgrims passing through. And live for something eternal. Live for Jesus. And wouldn't it be great if we could develop goals this week going into this next year that we just learn to just to block everything else. And we focus on, and we're dominated by this truth in mind that Jesus is coming again. And he was waiting. He was waiting. And then the second thing we see here is he was watching. He was watching. And verses 25 and 26 says, "Behold, the man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon, the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, it's amazing how the Bible is full of normal people just like us. You know, we've studied in the past few weeks, we studied about innkeepers and carpenters and shepherds and a young teenage couple excited about getting married. And God comes to, and he reveals truth to common men. And this is done through his word. This is done through the Holy Spirit. And why did this come to Simeon? Why did he see Christ? Why not someone else? Why did everybody else miss it? And Simeon saw it. Anna saw it. What was it about them that they saw? Their eye saweth Christ. And what kind of man is this revealed to? And so we've already seen that Mary was one. She was blessed. She was highly favored. She was a chosen vessel. You know, why Simeon? We saw some things about Mary, and she was submitted, and she had a great faith in the spoken word of God. But why Simeon? Why did he get the inside news? It was given to many people, but Simeon, he had the faith to anticipate it, and he had the faith, therefore, to see it. He was watching. And so we see several things about him. It says that he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was just and devout. Now, just means righteous. It means innocent. He was devout. His priority was the temple. His priority was worshiping God. His priority was seeing God. And that needs to be your priority in your life. Not making a lot of money, not this or that, but just seeing God and meeting with God and glorifying God in your life. When you make that priority in your life and you seek after the things of God, your life will be just as the song we sang, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You seek after God, God will take care of you and your family. All these things. And not only will they be taken care of, but you'll have a joy and a satisfaction this world can't give you. And God's His way is perfect. And so he was just and devout, and he had these goals, and he had these priorities. And we need people today to say that, hey, I want to have these goals. I want to be just and devout. I don't want to go the way of the world. I want my children and my grandchildren to be influenced by my life, and I want a testimony that is just and devout, and it's known by worshiping God and singing his praises. And, you know, and worshiping God is of utmost importance to you. It makes an impact to the people around you. That's the most important thing. These are qualifications that this man had. He was just. He was devout. And our country needs just and devout men. Righteousness exalts a nation. And that's going to make the difference in this country. Not the outcome of an election or whatever, but having men that are just and devout. And not only was he just and devout man, but he was a spirit-led man. He was a spirit-led man. You know, if we read here in the scriptures, it says, it was revealed unto him, the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. How many of you came tonight? You came to church by the Spirit of God. You were led by the Spirit of God. There's a difference. There's a difference on coming to church and then coming to church being under the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. God will work in your life and in your heart when you are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you. This was the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, even this is kind of interesting because this would be what we call the intertestamental period. This is between the Old and New Testament. Christ had not yet died on the cross. Christ, when he died on the cross, he promised a comforter. He promised the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came. It came upon the church. You can read about that in Acts. The Holy Spirit come, and the Holy Spirit is promised. And when you get saved, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed. You're sealed with the Spirit of promise, and you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's something about in this age of dispensation in which we live, in the age of grace, we have that. As a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. But at this time, the Holy Spirit was upon him. It would come upon a person and then maybe off, but it came upon him. But we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Now, it's up to us if we're going to yield to the Spirit or not. The Bible talks about this over in the book of Galatians. It says, therefore, walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so that's a habit. We talked about habits this morning. It's a habit we want to develop. We just want to be in a habit of being just spirit-led, spirit-filled, having the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's when you get victory. That's when you get a victorious Christian living. You don't have to be dominated by these sins that just so easily beset us. But he was a spirit-led man. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we God has given us that promise of the Holy Spirit of God. And we can be spirit-led people. And if we're spirit-led, we can see God. We can see. We don't have to be like, no, I've heard about you, but we can say, hey, now mine eye seeth thee. Now mine eye seeth thee. And that's a wonderful thing. And then not only was he watching, but he was willing. He was willing. He was willing. He was listening to the Holy Spirit of God. He was willing to do what the Holy Spirit of God told him to do. Now, I can't explain this fully, but I can tell you just from ministry in this town and other places around the world, there are people who are simply ready to receive the things of God, and there are people who are just closed in the Spirit. They're just closed. Sometimes people go through different seasons of their life, and there's many things that influence this. Maybe something that's happened in their past. It might be a problem at home or a problem with marriage, maybe a problem with health or work, or maybe no problems at all, but you can even see it in body language when you're preaching to people. You can tell. You can tell. It's just very, very evident. I mean, I tell you, now Simeon, he was willing, he was yielded. He was yielded to the Spirit's working in his life. You know, if Simeon would have been sitting in a church, he would not have had any body language that would emanate, I'm not interested in what you have to say. You can try your best, but you're not going to change me. He would have said, hey, please help me. Help me with the preaching of the word. Help me. And he would soak it up. His listening would have been very, very receptive. And there was a Jewish remnant of people that were waiting on the Messiah. He was a part of that remnant. He did not shut it off. He was not blinded to it. And so there's a people today, and maybe not the majority, but they're waiting. They're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you be in that part, be in that remnant, be part of that, and be willing and be yielded to the Spirit of God. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. You know, in Malachi chapter 3:16, when you have that common bond with somebody, it just ties you together in a deeper level than you can ever experience. Malachi 3:16 talks about the people they feared the Lord. They spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before them that feared the Lord and thought upon His name. And, you know, I don't know what happened that day in the temple, but I can see Simeon and Anna. They were on the same page, you know? And I can see Simeon going up to Anna and say, I don't know, Anna, maybe it's today. Anna says, I got a feeling it might be today. And they're looking and they're watching and they're waiting and they're willing and it comes, and you know, that's one of the purposes of Mountain City Baptist Church. We gather together You know, in spite of what's going on in the world, in spite of all the bad news, what we encourage one another that, hey, we are victorious in Christ and Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
And it's going to be better. It's going to be okay. And we can encourage one another in the hope that's in Christ. And that's one of the purposes of us coming together. And our focus is not on the other things. Our focus is upon Jesus and in all things that he might have the preeminence. And when he has the preeminence, we're going to be waiting and watching and willing, and we're going to live different.
Amen.
It will change the way we live our life. It'll change the way we raise our children. It'll change our priorities in life. It'll give us a passion in our soul and a desire to love God and to serve God and to reach others for God and to make a difference in this town. And so I love that. We see these people, they were not sidetracked. They were not down in the dumps because they kept the main thing, the main thing. They were looking for the Lord's Christ and they saw it. They saw it. Don't get sidetracked with all the negative out there. And a lot of us, everybody's dealing with I know. But just don't get sidetracked. Don't miss out on seeing Jesus, because Jesus is still at work. I'm so glad that we've still been able to have church this year. I mean, you know how easy it would have been just to fold up and just say, okay, it's been very easy and very tempting at times. This was not an easy year to be a pastor, I'm telling you. But I'm just glad that God is still at work.
Amen.
And we still see God move. And we saw the church grow. And we saw the church do outreach. And saw people come to know Christ in the year 2020. God can work in any situation, in any circumstance. God wants to work this next year. And he was willing, he was obedient, he came by the Holy Spirit into the temple. You know, it wasn't just the Holy Spirit was upon him, but it was leading him. You know, God was about to intersect his path with Jesus, with the Messiah. And what a wonderful thing. How many of you believe in divine appointments? I certainly do. I believe in it. I believe in divine appointments. I believe you being here is a divine appointment. I do. But I believe that God brought you here for a reason and a purpose. God could have brought you. There's a lot of good churches he could have brought you to, but I'm glad he brought you here. And I believe it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. And there's many divine appointments I believe God has given me in my life, but those do not happen unless you are following the leading of the Holy Ghost. Are you following the leading? If you don't follow the leading, you're going to miss out on some of these divine appointments that God has for you, some good things. And it's a wonderful thing. And so I'm glad that he decided that he didn't say, I just don't feel like going to the temple today. I've been going there for so many years, and every day I come home empty-handed and I don't see the Christ child. But he said, I'm going, but he went. He kept on going because he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that Jesus was given, he was received. And in verses 27 through 29, you see here, and he came by the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I tell you, Simeon, he held up the Christ child. He said, I'm ready to go now. That was his purpose in life. That was his life quest. What's your life quest? Simeon didn't say, I made my million now. I'm ready to go. He didn't say, I've done this and that. And, you know, I've made it this far up the corporate ladder. Now I'm ready to go. He said, no, I've seen thy salvation. That was his purpose, to meet with Christ. And God, and you know, what a wonderful thing is he had the promise fulfilled. God promised him. God promised him that he would not die till he saw the Lord's Christ. And you know, when God promises something, it is up to God to fulfill that promise. We just act on it. We just take God at his word. We don't worry about how that's going to happen or how that outcome is going to happen. We just trust God. God is in charge of ensuring the outcome. Whatever God has promised, he is in charge of ensuring the outcome. And that's called living by faith. You take God at his word. And what is God? He's working in your heart to do something, but you're like, man, I don't know about that. How's that going to work out? God ensures the outcome because it is God that promised. It wasn't, I didn't promise it. Pastor Todd didn't promise it. God promised it. And he promised it, and he delivers on his promise, and it is a wonderful thing here. And so he sees it, and then when he gets it, he pronounces. Yeah, he's gonna prophesy, he's gonna witness, and he witnesses about Christ, and he gives praise. And I love this praise he gives. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And this gift of Christ, this is for all people. This is, again, for every tribe and nation and tongue and kindred. And he says it's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I tell you, you know, he spoke about God's plan for his life, and his parents marveled. All right? Parents, you want to, you know, we're all proud of our kids, you know? But you want to marvel? You see God working in your child's life, you'll marvel. There's nothing better. I have no greater joy than knowing my children walk in the truth. I love to see God working in my kids' life. And I love to see God working in your children's life. And his parents, they marveled at this, and you'll marvel, and it's a wonderful thing. And it says, "And Simeon, he blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, the child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken against, and a sword shall pierce through the heart of the soul also, and through the heart of hearts may be revealed." And so there's a great price that Christ is going to have to pay. There's a price of salvation. Salvation is free to you, but it wasn't free to Christ. He left the thrones of glory and humbled himself, and took upon the form of a servant, lived a difficult life on this earth, and he gave his own life. And so we see there's three S's in this prophecy. The first thing you see is it says, "And he set." Behold, this child is set. Now, the set reminds you of a stone, okay? Jesus Christ will be the chief cornerstone. He's going to be the stone that is rejected. He's for the rising and for the fall and rising of many, for those that will reject will fall, and those that accept will rise. And so Jesus is set for the rise and fall of many. What have you done with Jesus Christ? If you've accepted him, you're going to rise. If you've rejected him, you're going to fall. It's one or the other. You say, "Well, that's just very exclusive." Well, the gospel is very exclusive.
Amen.
It is. And that's the truth of it. And then the second thing we see here, not only the set, but it says it's set for the fall and rising in Israel, and then for a sign which shall be spoken against. So the second S we see here is sign. Now, the sign to be spoken against. Now, if you stand for Christ, you will be spoken against. All right? If your goal in your life is to exalt Christ and bring glory to him, you will be spoken against. That's just true, okay? I can just tell you. You will be spoken against. It's okay if you take a approach that, hey, you know, all roads lead to heaven. Accepted in our society. But if you say, hey, Jesus is the only way to heaven, man, people don't like that. You will be spoken against. And if your goal is just to serve God and do things God's way, you'll be spoken against. And then the third one is really a difficult one to hear for the mother, but it says, yea, a sword. So the third one's a sword. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. So what's the sword? The sword shall pierce through thine own heart also. That's not usually what you're going to tell a young mother, but nobody could really prepare Mary for the piercing of the soul that she would experience. You know, Jesus, when he was suffering, and when he right before he died upon the cross, he looked down to the disciple John the Beloved, and what did he say? He said, "Behold thy mother." So what's he saying to John the Beloved? He's saying, "Hey John, hey, take care of mom, okay? Take care of my mom. Look after my mom." And she sat there and she watched her son die upon the cross. Her soul was pierced. You know, that is a difficult thing. You know, I tell you, and that's the worst day. It was our greatest day. That's the joy of the season is not necessarily what happened in a manger, but what happened on the cross. That's where I got my freedom. That's where you got your freedom. That's where you got your hope. That's where you got your eternal life. And I'm thankful for what Jesus did upon the cross. And as we close out and we think about these things, and as we go into a new year, I tell you, let us all have that prayer that Job had, saying, now I've heard thee with the hearing of my ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I want to see God work. I want to see God work. I want to see God work in my life. I need it. And the only thing stopping that and hindering that is me, you know, honestly. And I pray that I will reach that goal with God's help. And you can reach that goal. And as we get ready to have our communion time tonight, what a wonderful time that is. In order to put yourself in a position to see God work, you need to be right with God. And so we do communion here several times a year. I'm going to open to a passage that we can read together in 1 Corinthians. And then maybe God showed you something here tonight. We're going to have a time of what we call just self-examination. And you go to God, and you don't come through me. I'm not the mediator, okay? You know, Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. You go to God through Jesus' name, and you take care of whatever he's showing you, and you get those things right with God. But I want to read with you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 17 through 26. And the Bible says, "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together for the better, for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. There must also be heresies among you, and they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and to shame them that have not? What I say unto you, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." So the Corinthian church, this was written to the church at Corinth. They had a lot of problems. It was a very carnal church. The Lord's Supper is something that was instituted by Christ that was to be done in remembrance of him. And we'll see that here in just a minute. But they had kind of twisted this around in the church and used it as just a time to have a big feast and to drink, and there was just some debaucheries going on in the church, and that's not what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be about, okay? So that's one thing. He's trying to correct what they're doing and help them to do it right. In verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And we had given thanks, he brake it, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took of the cup, which he had supped. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So this is the one of the scriptures we look at when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And, you know, on our communion table, you can't see it right now, but most communion tables in churches, they'll say, "This do in remembrance of me." And that comes right out of this verse number 25, "in remembrance of me." So when you take communion, you're thinking about what Jesus did for you upon the cross. And you think about that. And you're taking communion with him. And you appreciate, you know, the love, you understand the love of God, and the love of God constrains us, it motivates us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" And you appreciate the salvation you have. And you can have freedom, you can have victory. But you don't want to do this unworthily. Now, you don't want to have open sin in your life and just refuse to deal with that and then take communion. The Bible says when you do that, you do it unworthily and you bring damnation upon yourself. Many are sick. Some sleep. That means they're dead. And you don't want to do that. I remember when I was younger, I had a friend, and I noticed we'd go to church together, and he wouldn't take communion. And I said, "Why don't you take communion?" He says, "I'm not doing right." He said, "I don't want to do it unworthily. I don't want to bring damnation on myself." And I said, "Well, that's between you and God, and that's one thing. That's one way you could do it. But really, the better way is just to get. If God shows you something that's not right, get it right. You know, that's what communion's all about. Because all of us, I don't think, guys, I've ever taken communion where there wasn't something God didn't show me I had to get right, Pastor Tyler. There's always things I'm trying to get right. And you get it right. And then you have that communion with God. And that's a wonderful thing. That's an important thing. And so we're gonna do that. It's going to be between you and God. What we'll do is I'll have Pastor Tyler come on up, and Brother Gene, why don't you come on up here, and then we'll do this here tonight, and we're going to take the bread. We'll probably start in the back, and you know, you can, if you want to take communion, different churches do it different ways. Some are closed communion, where you got to be a member of the church. We practice what we call open communion. If you've been saved, been baptized, and you want to take communion, you feel free to do that with us here tonight. That'll be fine. That's what we do here at Mount Sea Baptist. But let's get ready to start here. And the first thing we're going to do is take of the bread. And let's go ahead. And the Bible says here, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So, man, why don't we go ahead and distribute the bread? You can all just bow your heads and just pray and examine yourself as they're passing this out. And then we'll have a word of prayer together before we partake. If there's anybody in the parking lot, if you would just turn your lights on, and they'll come out to you as well. Bible says that when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Pastor Tyler, why don't you give thanks for the bread? Go ahead and pass out the juice. The Bible says, after the same manner, he took of the cup when he had supped, saying, "The cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Brother Steve, would you thank God for the blood?
This time, Lord, as we partake in this, we remember you, not just today, but
Let's close out with a hymn. Can you play Amazing Grace? People said,
amen.
Amen. Well, it's been good to be in the Lord's house today. Thank you all so much. Anybody got a word in their heart tonight?